The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to, Otis and I, once a year we try to do a praise and worship refresher. So that's what we're going to do today. And it's 11:15. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting. But praise the Lord. God, we just thank you for this short time that we have. And Father, we just pray that your voice would be louder. We magnify you, Lord God. We magnify you. Be glorified today, Lord God. And Lord, help us all to just learn something new. Help us all to experience you and hear you a different way today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, like I said, every year, Otis and I, we do a refresher course. Try to brush up, polish, whatever you want to call it. The concepts of praise and worship. Because, praise the Lord, our church is growing. And we have new people. So that's good. That means we're in God's plan. Yes, that's worthy of applause. More people are coming to Jesus, and that's exciting. That's exciting. Okay. You want to use mine? No, you go ahead. Okay. Well, I want to start with praise. Chris. Thank you. We want to start with praise. So go ahead and click that slide, baby girl. Amen. Thank you, Matea. What is praise? It is to commend, to applaud, to celebrate, to express approval or admiration, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify. All of that means praise. So when we're praising God, we're commending him, we're thanking him, we're glorifying him, we're making his deeds, his actions, the way he talks to us, the way he's moved in the past, the way he's going to move in the future. We're commending and making all of those things bigger. That's what praise is. Let's read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Next slide. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Y'all see all those exclamation points all over the place? Those are commands. Those are commands. So when we're commanded to do something, that means that we got to do it. And these are commands by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, praise throughout this chapter is the Hebrew word halal. Let's all say halal.
Halal.
Thank you. Halal means, you can flip that slide, baby girl. Halal means to be clear. Oh, okay, he told me stop calling you baby girl. Okay. Halal means to be clear in color. Well, she's so cute. It's hard to not call her baby girl. Plus, you were a baby girl at one time, and in my mind, you're still there. But I'm letting it go. You're growing. Hallelujah. Halal means to be clear in color. It means to shine, to make a show, to boast, and to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate. Now, how many would agree that Brother Jerry has that down? Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So Brother Jerry understands the word, the definition of halal. We should follow his example. Yes. Let's say amen louder. Amen. Because we agree with the word of God. When you say amen to anything, it means that you're agreeing with the word of God. So let's be clamorously. That means to just go buck wild. Yeah.
I mean, split away your china.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because something's getting messed up.
Yeah. We're just going to praise God no matter what.
That's right.
It's not about our personality. It's not about how we feel in that moment. It's about God and what he's doing and what he has done. Let's be foolish. Let's boast. Let's brag about our Father.
Yes, amen.
He's worthy to be boasted. His name is worthy to be lifted high.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, I'm not going to camp out there. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep moving. So, why do we praise? Why do we praise? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So when you feel small, when you feel like you can't do anything right, we have to remember that as believers, we belong to the greatest nation. We belong to the nation of God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're not alone in this world. We are a part of the great nation of our Father. Amen? That's worthy of praise, right?
That's right. Amen.
We're
Amen.
Not alone in this thing. He is with us all the time. That's who he's created us to be. Thank you, Father God. So that is why we praise. Let's go to why we worship. Look at me moving fast.
You're doing it, babe.
I'm doing it.
Hey,
doing
one thing I do want to say real quick. Slow you down.
Now he's going to slow me down.
But seriously, so if you understand praise, you must understand also that if you want to look dignified and if you've invited people to church and you don't want to let them see you crack or maybe wrinkle your outfit, you can't please both, okay? So you can invite people to church. Please do. But let them know you might see some of the joy of the Lord coming up out of me.
Amen? That's right.
So it's okay. Praise is good.
Yes.
And those who are afraid to praise God, they will not have victories in their life.
Right.
Trust me, you will not have victories in your life if you don't learn to praise God.
Let's put some other words in that. Those who think that raving or boasting or being clamorously foolish is not a part of their personality, you're not praising. Mm-hmm. Amen? You're not praising.
Yep.
That is what praise is. It's to put aside all those things, all those hang-ups that we have in our brain. All of those things, they have to go to the side to praise the Lord. Okay? Amen. So what is worship? Worship means to express a profound love and admiration for the Lord. To express a profound love and admiration for the Lord. Let's read John chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24. It says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, the word worship in verse 23 is the Greek word proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-Y-N-E-O, proskuneo. And proskuneo means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. Is that how we're worshiping? Are we putting ourselves that low so that he can be bigger? It means to fawn over. It means to get low, to prostrate oneself. So when you see, Pastor Rob is like the king of prostrating. Pastor Rob gets right down and puts his face in the carpet. When we're worshiping God, we're putting ourselves way low so that he can be magnified. This is not about low self-esteem. That's not what this is. This is not about thinking that we're not good enough. No, that's not what this is, because that's not what the way God feels about us. Mm-hmm. But it is us reminding ourselves that he is bigger in all things. He is greater in all things. When we have that mindset, when we're putting aside everything about ourselves to only focus and talk to him or sing to him, we are worshiping. We are doing proskuneo. So let's continue to do that. We must be the ones that show our love and admiration to God with honesty,
that's right,
with certainty, and being real. You can't fake Jesus. You can't fake him. He know all about our stuff. He knows it all. So because he knows it all, what do we think we're hiding? We ain't hiding nothing. So let's just be real and go before him unashamed and put him above everything. We have to put him above our shame. We have to put him above our wealth or lack of it. We have to put him above everything. That is what worship is. He wants us to be ourselves so that he can shape us. If we're trying to hide, if we're trying to be something other than what we are, then he's not able to change that. Because we're not surrendered. We're not worshiping. Be honest, be real, and be certain of who he is. And then you're worshiping, and then he changes us. We grow. We get more mature in him. And that's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing.
Amen. Amen. No doubt. You know, and as Ivy was just talking about that, I'm reminded, you know, when I was playing football back in the day and I was in great shape, boy, I wish I could get back there. But hey, things happen.
It's going to happen.
Too many honey buns. But anyway, you know, back then, I could bench press a pretty good amount of weight, you know. And I was just, I could throw up whatever I wanted to usually. So years later, I remember I was at OUN or at OU, and where I used to be able to bench 340 or 375, close to 400, I thought I could do the same thing. I had been in college for several years and maybe 3-4 years, and I was in one of the weight rooms, and I'm just, I'm putting it up, and I think I got all this weight on there, and I put it up, and it came back and rested on my chest. I could not push it back up. And I was like, I mean, I was struggling. And out of nowhere, these arms came over, grabbed that bar.
Thank you, Jesus.
Boom! Just threw it up and put it up there on the thing. And I was like, woo! I looked around, and I looked and started at this person's feet. I'm on this bench, and I started on this feet, and I was like about to say, hey, thank you, man. And I'm looking, and I'm like, that looked like girls' legs. I looked up, and it was this woman. She had picked that thing up off of me. I was so thankful that she was, I was like, dag, it hurt my ego too, though.
Oh, but hallelujah, or he'd still be there.
But the truth is, I didn't realize I had lost strength. I was still remembering what I could do before. So when Ivy was talking about the things to put God above, you even got to put him above your victories or you won't get new ones. You know, if you keep anchoring back to something that was old and great then, you got to move on and go forward with what God has for you to do, because you won't realize it. Over time, if you neglect worshiping, if you neglect praising God, it will be just like that muscle that used to be firm and ready to go. And then when you're in a situation of need, you won't have the strength to pull it off. And it might not be that same girl there to pick it up off of you. Okay, so I'm supposed to be talking about corporate praise and worship, but I kind of went off a little bit on a rabbit trail.
Next slide.
Okay, great. So right here, I'm going to talk a little bit about corporate praise and worship. You guys have heard us do this before, but if you're new, as Ivy said, we want to keep going over this. And hopefully God will, I know he's going to keep adding to this body and retaining so that we'll be a larger congregation and thriving. Amen?
Amen.
But in 2 Chronicles 5, chapter 5, verse 11 and 14.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. She's already on it.
Thank you, babe.
And see, I'm going to read it from here, babe, because that's a little too far away from me there. But so here, I'll read the scripture, then we'll talk about it a little bit. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. Oh, wow. Without keeping to their divisions. I'll say that one more time. Without keeping to their divisions.
Amen, sir.
Verse 12. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. Next slide, please. Thank you. And with them, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. I'm emphasizing instruments because it is okay to have instruments in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God.
Amen.
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 Do I still have another slide there? I thought that was it. So listen, there was a lot packed in there, and I could take a really long time going through it all. But what is important for us to understand is you are supposed to worship God and praise God even at home. And so even though that's good, being here and worshiping here on Sunday does not exempt you from doing it at home. We're supposed to do it at home. And so some would say, well, why even come to church? There is a power when we come together and we stand unified. Only way to be unified is not to keep to our divisions.
That's right.
And let me show you what divisions look like. Divisions could be, Otis, why are you worshiping at that all black or at that all white church? They don't know nothing about you. They're all white. You're the only black family in there. Why are you worshiping at that church? Well, I don't care. They're brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
We love the same God.
That's right.
Otis, why are you over there at that place? Or why are they over there at this place with that person? And I don't know. They're from Meigs County.
Uh-huh.
They don't think like the rest of the world. No, seriously. Division could be, that's not my denomination.
Right.
How can I come in there and worship? Well, I don't think there should be instruments. I think there should be an organ. There was one person who had started a fight in a church where we were a part of. And I won't get too far off, babe. But started a fight in a church we were a part of because nobody played the organ. And it's not really church unless you play that organ. Mm-hmm. Those are divisions. But for us to come together and worship God corporately, we got to not allow divisions to be there. We got to allow God to be our focus, and we need to sound as one.
That's right.
And when we do that, when we are so unified, it's just like how they were at the Tower of Babel. They were getting so unified and of a single voice and a single language and so focused that even on the negative end of things, they could have done some serious damage, and God had to scatter their voices. He had to disrupt their unity.
Yeah.
But see, so when we get that unified, that we come in here and where I could say praise the Lord at home, now when I say praise the Lord and we all say it in the same cadence and we're unified and believe it, he's able to do great and mighty things, something starts to shake in our world.
That's right, that's right.
And God starts to have his way. He says, now they're getting it. I can come in. So corporate worship is very important.
I want to take authority over some of the divisions that we have in our church, some of the divisions that we keep in our church. We have a generational division in our church. We have some people that are saying, well, why do you do hymns? Nobody sings that stuff anymore. I don't even know what that means. And then we've got a group of people, the older generation, who are like, well, we don't do enough hymns. We're really not praising if we don't do more hymns. That's a division. That's a division. When we're singing songs, when Otis and I pick music, or and the people on the praise team, they bring songs and we go through them as well. When we're picking music, the Lord drops those songs in our spirit and he tells us this is what he wants to hear. Let's not keep to that division. Let's not keep that. Our focus is praising God. So if I say praise ye the Lord for the old generation, the young generation should say praise ye the Lord. If I say as a millennial, if I say, get on up and move your feet and praise God, then older generations should say, get on up and get on your feet and praise God. Let's not keep that division. Amen?
Amen.
There's power in unity.
Yes.
There is power and strength and blessing in unity.
Amen.
If we break down that division in this church, things will happen.
Yes.
That's why I'm talking about it. Amen. I ain't trying to embarrass nobody, but it's there, and we need to come against it. We need to change ourselves.
And listen, what she's saying is absolutely true. We have to have a balance. And I would say we're very balanced here. And so what that means is when we're mindful, and as long as it doesn't go against what God's will is for the Sunday, for a certain Sunday, if he's saying do this song, we say, no, I got to put this song for so-and-so. That's not how we do things. But what we will do is when God says pick the song you want, and we say, how about this one? And he gives us peace about it. That's cool. So you will hear hymns. You'll hear contemporary Christian. You might hear some funk. And just to be honest with you, there's times that I brought worldly music into this house. And I don't want you to think that's strange. I do it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's a time when it was very appropriate that we were in, ministry was taking place, and there was a young lady who came up front, and God says, play this. I'll be there. I'll be there. Just call my name, and I'll be there. Some people would have got up and walked. He's playing worldly music in the house of God. No, but God orchestrated it, and it was able to minister to that person right on. So it's all about the motivation. So we do need to come into this place and not allow ourselves to be to our divisions. Now, you'll see this first bullet point says we must sanctify ourselves. And so when you look here, this word Kodesh means exactly that, to separate ourselves. It's a Hebrew word, to bring ourselves apart. And to separate ourselves. And some might say, well, wait a minute. We're sanctifying ourselves. Well, what are we doing? What does that really mean? That means we could be allowing ourselves to be prepared for use. And so sometimes I think of it like this. I'm real funny about using clean things when I eat. Don't laugh. Everybody is. But so,
no,
like,
he's obsessive about it, and that's why I laugh, because he can just go too far with it.
Well, no, the kids will come and put their grubby hands on stuff and then think I'm going to put that fork in my mouth. No, I'm about to wash it. I'm preparing it so I can consume.
No, I'm sanctifying. No. Like last night, he said to me, I had a bad.
Hey, don't be bringing that. That was in our bedroom.
No,
you can't share that.
I'm sharing it. I had a bag of Lay's potato chips, and I was eating the potato chips out the bag. Well, he thought that was so nasty that I was eating the potato chips out of the bag. He's like, why don't you put those chips out and put them on a napkin or put them in a bowl? And I'm like, we're family. What's the big deal? So that's what I mean when I say he's a little obsessive. Look, a little bit of germs make you strong. Amen? Look, they're on my side, so change
your
behavior.
Well, in my household, we would have put some in your own little bowl and keep the other one clean and separate anyway. So God wants us to sanctify ourselves, to allow us, pull ourselves out and be separate. But that's not separate from each other. That separate from the cares of the world. Separate from the bills that you have out there. Separate from how the boss treated you. Don't bring that baggage in here when you're trying to worship. Prepare yourself to worship and to see God. And sometimes we got to say, when the enemy and all week, you might have had some failures. You got to separate yourself and say, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am property of the Most High God. You know, and so as you start saying that, you're cleaning yourself and you're preparing yourself so that you can receive what God has for you in a better way. Amen. Next bullet here says, not allow our differences to divide us. I already spoke about that some. Okay. Even if it's someone in your household and you have a difference, politically, there may be some differences. Maybe you had an argument with someone in your house. When it's time to come in here for corporate worship, you have got to divide from that thing and get beyond it and say, you know what? I can agree on right now. We are both saved. We love the same God. His blood is covering us, and he wants us to prosper.
Amen.
He wants us to prosper and be in health. And so listen, we cling to those things. That's where you find some unity, and you say, let's go into the throne room of God together. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think it's also important to just bring this down, to boil this down a little bit more to just our individual households. You know, when you're getting dressed for church, and like for us on the praise team, sometimes we have to be here at 8:30 in the morning. And look, that's when the devil wants to make a fight break out in the house. Or, you know, if you got little kids, everybody poops their diaper when it's time to walk out the door. You cannot allow, you have to sanctify yourself. And not allow that to just make you just want to, you know? So many times in our house, we'll just play music, or the kids will, I'll tell them, if they're bickering, I'll tell them to go put cereal in a baggie. I'm doing everything I can to keep peace so that we can get to church and have the right mindset. Because family dynamics can really wreck the anointing. It can wreck the anointing. You feel a little less of Jesus when you hear your kids in the back seat. Why are you touching me? La, 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 la. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to like set an atmosphere in your house so that you can come to church and participate in corporate praise and worship and contribute to the unity that the Lord desires to see. Amen.
Amen. Now, this next bullet here says, regardless of our duties in the body, we must operate as one. And so that is true. We all have different, depending on your duties in the body of Christ, you have priorities. You have different needs. And sometimes those things might bump up against what someone else is doing. But if we're always mindful of our duties along with someone else's, we will complement each other, opposed to just trying to take space and hog resources. And so what I mean by that is we're mindful, okay, maybe you're a greeter in the house of God. Maybe you're the pastor. And some people might think, oh, being the pastor is glamorous.
Sure. Yeah,
not.
Right. Yeah.
Or you're in the sound. Every area that we work in is important. Mm-hmm. Now, understand, maybe you don't have a certain position within the church, or you're not on a certain ministry team. Even you still have duties. Because in the corporate worship experience, you are still a part of what God is doing. And that means our new visitors, they see you.
Yeah.
If you're nasty, ripping your wife on the way in, ripping your husband on the way in, they see you. And you represent Bethel or whatever church you're at that time. And so we've got to understand we all have a part to play, but all of us are important. All of us are important. If one piece, sometimes you think me bringing a message or someone doing praise and worship, let the sound man decide to flip off the sound system. Let Tina put up different words. We'll be able to. Billy says, you know what, doggone, I got to leave. I'm flipping the lights off. We are all important. And so if we embrace that and go forward and not allow ourselves to the enemy to come in, God's going to be glorified. All of this is about our corporate worship. We have to be respectful of each other and respectful of God. So now understand some of the things you see singing. We sing, we speak, we display God's truth back to him. Now, let me explain to you what we're saying here. Okay, so the best way to show this, at least in my thinking, is God has told us all a story. That is true. And he's told us this story over and over, and he wants us to be able to reproduce it. Okay? And he wants us to tell the story back to him correctly. Okay? So in all of our behavior, the things that we do should be able to display back to God his truth, his story. So when God comes looking and he says, I have blessed you in so many different ways, I want to see what have you done with what I've given you.
That's right.
And if you show him your hand and he says, you have shown me production. Because that's what I've blessed you with, the ability to create. And so as we produce and show that back to him, he is pleased because he's like, you look like me. You look like, let me tell you something. Okay, good. Nobody go back to Jayden. Say this.
Oh,
if Jayden leaves the household looking a certain way, me as a daddy, I'm learning, and God bless you men who have already gone through this, I get more hot if my daughter steps out of the house inappropriately dressed. There is a fire that just burns. I feel my head starting to sweat. And I'm like, and I remember saying stuff to her like, you look. Oh, I'm sorry. That was loud.
That was loud. But that's the way it sounds.
I'm serious. You look nothing like this family doing that type of stuff. Now, I'm not saying she's not part of the family. I'm saying you know better. What do you think you're wearing? What were you thinking about? You don't look like what we've taught. And I get hot, and I have to remember, Otis, don't touch her. Don't touch the little one right now, because it would not be good. And that's when I just said, Jayden, you better go and change that quickly, because something's about to happen. And then she disappears. But I'm reminded right now because God is saying to us, stop whining. Stop acting like you have nothing.
Yes, 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 yes.
I am the God Jehovah. I've dressed you. I've made mountains for you. I've put breath in you. And all I ask you to do is sing to me on Sunday morning. You get to speak whatever you want throughout the week. But Sunday morning, come in and praise to me. Now, listen, just because I said that doesn't mean you can speak however you want throughout the week. He still wants you to be appropriate. Speak his word. But so what I'm saying to you is when we move, when we worship, God just wants us to hear good. He just wants to hear the story back. How he is a provider. You've done great things for us. I know, babe, I've gone off.
You're doing fine.
You've done great things for us. God, you're my shield. You're my buck. You know, whatever it is you're saying to him. You know, my enemy may come to me one way, but he's leaving me seven ways. The guy says, you're getting it. Oh, yeah. Watch what happens, Otis. Yeah. He starts saying this stuff to me. You're getting it. Watch what happens. I was so excited the other day because Seth, he got on the bus at school and he had texted me and said, I'm on my way now, Dad. I just got on the bus. Okay, cool.
That's a big deal.
It was
for
a text. And then he said, I'm probably 5 to 8 minutes away.
You have to tell him why it's a big deal.
I will get there. I'm about 5 or 8 minutes away, Dad. So you might want to leave because I was going to go pick him up from his bus. He's texting me, and with each one I'm reading, I'm like, yes. And I said, he's being really responsible because there's times that he just does not remember. But I'm seeing some growth there. I'm seeing some things. And so there's times that he would just leave stuff or forget. And I say, son, why'd you do that? I don't know. And it just wears me out. Well, what's happening now is I'm starting to see things that I've put in him. I'm starting to see, whoa. And the other day, he got out the vehicle, and I was watching him. I dropped him off, and he was getting into Ivy, or helping Ivy go into a certain place. And I saw him reach for your bags. This was just yesterday, I think. Reach for your bags. Then the same day, he was opening. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I see a gentleman. I see someone who's mindful and respectful and responsible. And I just start, and I think God's doing the same thing. He wants to see us showing him that his investment was well made.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm taking a lot of time on this slide. Next slide, or I'm sorry, not next slide, but this next bullet here is see his glory come in and the anointed will not need to minister. That's what we read about there. When they were not to their own divisions, it talked about them being dressed in white linens. It talked about them having their instruments. It talked about key people being in place. And even though the priest was probably prepared to minister, they all came together and they were all of one vision. And when they went to minister, or when they praised God at the east end of the altar, as they were praising him, the glory of God filled the house so much that they could not minister. That is critical. We want the glory of God to come in here. And when we come together, let's not be happy with, okay, listen, I'm going to sing a couple songs. I got some food in the crock pot. I want to make sure we get back home in time so we can eat it. And we might even go see a movie tonight. And you're thinking about all those things opposed to, God, I'm not sad. If Charles Mash was here, I'm not satisfied leaving church when he is rolling out of here.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah.
When Bud is here and we leave a service and Bud's not totally restored, I'm not happy. Just to be honest. I still say, God, man, just, what am I missing that I can't just lay hands on them now and just boom, they're healed. So what I'm saying is I want more. We've got to want more. And we can't get more thinking about the food in the crock pot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what we're going to do later. Okay, babe, I know. No.
Actually, I'm going to sit here for a second as well. When we have those services where the praise and worship team winds up staying on the stage for the entire service, it's not because Pastor didn't prepare a message. Pastor Rob prepares a message every week, or he has someone like us in place to have a message. We're up here, we're staying up here because that's what the Lord wants in that moment. It's what he's demanding from his people. So let's jump in that river when it's happening. When that river or when that moment is flowing, let's jump in. Because honestly, when the Spirit of the Lord, when the cloud of God fills the house and the anointed do not need to minister, what the cloud is doing is much better. Mm-hmm. What the cloud is doing is much more awesome. What the cloud is doing stays, it lingers. It stays and it lingers. So let's, when we're here for praise and worship as a church, let's have that be our goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's have that be our goal for the cloud to come in. And let's see what the Lord will do. Let's see what he has in store for us, okay? So it's important that we need to have a goal for ourselves when we come in for praise and worship. And honestly, I'm not just talking about the music. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about at the top of the service at 10 o'clock when we stand up and we hear the shofars and the Hebrew stuff comes on and we don't really know what it means. May the Lord bless and keep you. You know, that's our praise and worship is beginning. Let's get here at 10. Expecting on the balls of our feet, waiting to see what the Lord's gonna do. Let's do that. Let's have that type of attitude. When we come in with a being on the balls of our feet attitude, God is praised. He likes that. He likes to see that expectation on his people. Okay, it is 11:53. And so next week, Otis and I are gonna start with what is praise and worship? Music. That is where we're going to start next week because there is no way I can finish this slide in 4 minutes. Because I know myself. So if you would like a copy of our PowerPoint of this, you're welcome to just email me and I'll send it to you. We ain't keeping secrets. No, you just... we'll send it to you. So as I said, next week we'll start with what is praise and worship music so you can kind of get an idea of you know, why we pick the songs that we pick and that praise and worship music in terms of song ministry in a church, it actually has a process. We ain't up here just winging it.
And babe, you know, since we're not going to go on and do the next slide, I do want to touch on, because you mentioned the opening video.
Yes.
Where we have the shofars. There's been times we thought, man, people don't understand what that is. Let's take it down. For people who are new, they don't understand hearing the Hebrew language or, you know, and they're wondering why there's shofars. Do understand, and I believe most of you in here do, but if you don't, we are marrying, first off, God is a God of ceremony.
Yes, he is.
Don't think that even though God is spontaneous, but he is a God of order. And there is ceremony, okay?
Yes. Now, he likes pomp and circumstance.
He just doesn't like empty ceremony. So right. It needs to be meaningful.
Yeah.
So, but understand, we are marrying the fact that we are not Jewish in our natural ethnicity, but we are married into that thing, okay? Or we've been engrafted into that family, okay? And so you see the two coming together. That is the language that was being used at that time. But then you notice it follows right after it with English, something we can understand. And so when you're hearing that and the Lord bless you, that is something I personally really grab hold of, because it is a decree, and I'm remembering that, and yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
As I'm hearing that, I'm reminded, yes, Lord, I receive it. I will go forward in your peace. It's the same way we just took the Lord's Supper there. It's the same thing. It's the same type of thing there. And the shofar, hearing the blowing of the shofar, even if I didn't know anything about it scripturally, just hearing it, it does something in me. Now, I'm not saying it's important because it does something in me, but that's how God created it. And if you look in Ezekiel 33, it talks about if a sore comes on the land and the alarm is not sounded, then the blood is on the one who did not sound, on the people, right? And so understand, there's so many different places. And at one point I had Tony share what that means, the shofar. It has so many different meanings, but so many pieces to it that will illustrate it. But it's very important. We don't just put something up half-heartedly and say, oh, this is something cool.
Right.
No.
Right.
It's a part of our heritage.
That's right.
Okay? And so we want to grab hold of that. Also the same when you hear the three blow the shofar right before service, the way they've worked that out and orchestrated it even to where the last one sounds a certain way and goes up. They've studied all that and what it means. It's really cool. At some point, we'll have another teaching on that because it's.
But it's also on the podcast. So if you just scroll through the podcast, you can find Sister Tony's message. Look, I just did a commercial for you, Chris. Just did a commercial. Amen. Amen. So scroll through the podcast. You can access the podcast on the Bethel Worship Center website. Scroll through and find Sister Tony's message. It was a really good teaching.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to close, but before we do that, I think it's important, if there's anyone in here who needs ministered to, or you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't have to be anything super smoke or, smoke rolling down the aisle or flashing lights. Right now, it's just a decision that you make because you realize, wow, that God they were talking about, that Jesus they spoke about, I need him. And I'm lost without him. I've tried to do it so many times myself. I've tried to figure out the answer all by myself. And I'm still coming up lost. I don't have the answer. But there is one who did know it all. And for every sin that you've committed, thought about committing, he endured so much so that you could come to him. I think about that. Jesus, knowing that he's going to die when he has done nothing wrong, he took on our weaknesses, he took on our faults, he took on our sins. He had the power to knock out anyone who tried to come against him. He could have just spoke it. But he said, no, I'm going to endure this so that you have this opportunity right now to say, I need you, Jesus. I'm tired of playing the game. So listen, if you're in here and you can't guarantee us that if you were to die right now, that you're going to heaven, you need Jesus. And we don't have time to play around and wait and say, let's get it next Sunday. Not all of us get it next Sunday.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
So if you're in this place right now, don't be worried about people looking at you. We've all been through this. But if you're in this place and you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, just lift your hand. Maybe you have received him and, you know, you still feel lost, backed up. Maybe you haven't talked to him for the longest and you want to rededicate your life to him and say, you know what, going forward, it's a new day. This is a new day. Those things that have held me up, those things that have captured me and got me tied up, I don't have to stay here. Jeez. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought you smelled good and then something happens and you discover that's me stinking? I'll just be honest, you know, after a while when you're comfortable wearing something over and over and then next thing you realize is that's me. I pray God gives that to us right now. Because sometimes we can get off and we can get comfortable where we're at. And it takes somebody outside coming in and saying, hey, do you realize that's out of place?
Yeah.
So you might have given your life to the Lord before, but if you feel you've so set off of that and you don't know your way and you want to get back online, let me see your hand. And understand, if that's not you and we don't have to have anyone come up, that's great. I'm not looking. That doesn't justify my ministry. I know I've done what God wants me to do. But this is so that you don't leave having missed something. All right. Anybody?
It's your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I will rest.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're going to get ready to go. We're going to pray.
Found in you is your faithfulness. I will rest.
Ooh, yay.
In your promises.
Oh, yeah, do
my
that.
My confidence.
My confidence
is your faithfulness. I will rest.
I will rest.
In your promises.
Yes, rest in his promises.
My confidence.
My confidence
is your faithfulness. I will
Lord,
rest.
I just
Let's say that together.
In your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness.
Lord God, right now in this moment, we just say together that we trust you. We know that you have good things in store for us because we're your children. We know that we belong to the greatest nation, and that's yours. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness. Thank you that your mercies for us are new every morning. Oh, Father, thank you for not growing tired of us. Thank you, God. Help us to quit whining, oh God. Help us to remember that your promises for us are yes and amen. May we never forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank you that the blood is powerful and it covers all. Be with us this week, Lord God. Help us to remember to sing to you, Jesus. Help us to remember to praise you this week, Jesus. Help us to remember to worship you this week, Jesus.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.